Hello, I'm Georgina Mumford, and I'm delighted to be joined today by co-founder of JL Partners, James Johnson. Welcome, James.
Hello.
James, today we had the results of the by-election in Gorton and Denton. The Greens' Hannah Spencer came out on top with about 41% of the vote share, with Reform and Labour lagging behind. Just at a glance, what did you make of these results? Was this something that was foreseeable, or did it surprise you?
I think it did surprise me. The level of the Green victory, I think, was bigger than anyone was really expecting. I think a lot of pundits went into it thinking that Labour would have quite a good ground game, and therefore they would be able to close the deal or at least get into second place. In fact, even if that ground game was there, it was not persuasive in getting voters to the polls, and clearly the Greens had a better impact, both in reaching into the Muslim community, as well as actually getting people to the polls. We can often assume that because it's been a Labour seat for so long that there's a really good ground operation, actually in these really safe seats, they tend to get neglected. So actually, because there's no need to fight them. So I imagine actually that's one of the explanations why the Labour infrastructure really wasn't there. So yep, I think we can all be surprised by the size of the Green win. And I think it does tell us something about that, you know, conflict on the left and how Labour is losing its votes to insurgent parties, not just the Greens, on the left.
And what does this mean for Labour going forward? What are they going to have to think about now?
Well, this is a pretty much the worst case outcome for Labour and Keir Starmer, because they've lost a chunk of votes to Reform since 2024. They've lost a chunk of votes to the Lib Dems. They've lost a chunk of votes to the Greens. And now the Greens are suddenly going to enter the public mind. And by-elections always get slightly blown out of proportion. You know, it is one election in one constituency. But nonetheless, they do set the media narrative. And it was seismic. It was the first time the Greens have won a by-election. That is historically important and does merit coverage. So the Greens are going to be a challenger party to Labour now. They're going to become more clear to more voters on the left that they are a challenger party to Labour. And that's going to be difficult for Keir Starmer. I think, you know, what does this tell us about where Labour is going to go? Well, I think it shows us that, you know, the Labour vote, if Keir Starmer stays on, is going to continue to fragment and split to the left. It does, of course, pose the really interesting question of who comes after Starmer. I think we can assume that Starmer probably goes this year, if not next. And if he does go this year, then this has put a lot more pressure on Labour to swing to the left rather than to the centre. And I think that is going to tell us a lot. And actually, you could see a world in which the Greens are not a threat at the next election for Labour, because Labour has moved to the left and moved to their positioning. And I think there is more chance of that now than there was before that by-election in Gorton and Denton.
And in terms of the takeaway for Reform here, is this kind of a signal that they're losing momentum among the British working classes, or is it that it was, you know, never that feasible for them anyway?
I don't think it was feasible for them. It was number 400 and something on their target list in terms of out of all the 650 seats. You know, clearly, when you look at the demographics of the seat in terms of the Muslim vote, in terms of not working class voters, but voters who are more likely to be unemployed or on benefits, those voters tend to stick with Labour. And there are more of those voters in this seat. Look, I think that if you'd have asked me this a week ago, if Reform fell short in this seat, what would it mean for Reform's momentum? I would have said that this could be bad news for them. People are going to say, are they a busted flush? I don't think we're seeing that at all. And I think the reason why we're not seeing that at all is that people are realising this is a very unique seat. And let me just give you a couple of statistics on that. I mean, it has 28% Muslim population from the census. That's the 23rd highest share in the country for the number of Muslims in a seat. It's also the 15th most deprived seat in England in terms of economic prosperity. As I say, that tends to benefit Labour more than Reform, because they hang on to those more unemployed or voters on social benefits. There are only 37 seats in the country with more than 20% Muslim. There are only 28 seats in the country with more than a quarter of their voters Muslim. That says to me that if this becomes now a national fight between Reform and the Greens, actually Reform can be the bastion in all those 600 constituencies that don't have that higher Muslim population. and can say, you know, look, the Greens are a threat to our nation. The Green Party is hard left. And actually that allows Reform to win over that sort of middle England vote, in a lot of those other seats, which they could pick up. So I've come out of this by-election, despite Reform being second, actually saying, I wonder actually whether there's a real strategic opportunity for Reform here. And actually it being Reform versus Greens squeezes out the Conservatives more, squeezes out Labour more, and actually helps Reform in the vast majority of seats where the Greens can't be competitive.
So is it just a case of Reform basically carrying on doing what they're doing, or are they going to have to sort of pivot in some areas and think about picking up some votes elsewhere that they might not be right now?
Yeah, look, I think Reform needs to think about where their national polling is to come up with those decisions rather than what happened in Gorton and Denton. I think, you know, Reform is on about 30% in the polls. I think they really want to get to that 35%. When you look at how they do that, and I think I've said on your show before, the way that they do that is by winning Conservatives. Conservatives are much more likely to say that they will vote for Reform than Labour voters. Particularly pensioners who are still worried about Nigel Farage and his record on the economy. I think that's why you see such prominence being given to the Rob Jenrick defection, why Rob Jenrick has been made Reform Shadow Chancellor. They want to really sort of create this narrative that actually the economy is safe in Nigel Farage's hands and is safe in Reform's hands. So look, I would say to them that they need to carry on building that work by reaching into those voters who are not yet voting for them. But fundamentally, you know, if Labour and the Greens are splitting the left vote plus the Lib Dems, then Reform can win a majority on the 30% they're already on. And that's where it gets actually really sort of quite interesting for Reform. If the left stays fragmented, then Reform is in a great position. However, big caveat, PM Angela Rayner, you know, PM Ed Miliband, it might just change that and it could end up in Labour actually bringing those voters back together again.
And you mentioned the Muslim vote earlier. Obviously, Gorton has a huge Muslim population. Denton is very white working class, and we saw the split play out there. There's a lot of talk of kind of sectarianism, block voting, faith mobilisation, maybe taking precedence over class solidarity. How much did we actually see that play out in Gorton and Denton? Was it as big as an issue as people are saying it is?
So, you know, without proper, you know, individual level data or polling, it's a very boring pollster answer, I know. We can't say too much about it. But what we can, I think, say is that we know there's a large Muslim population in that seat. We know that Gorton and Denton has voted on issues like that before. And we know that in 2024, in many of these seats with high Muslim proportions, they voted for Gaza independence, for independent candidates and for other candidates who were making Gaza the issue of the campaign, which was in complete different territory to what the rest of Britain's voters were voting on. Cost of living, who do they want to be the best PM, the economy, small boats and immigration. Very, very different sort of set of situations. We've obviously seen these reports of family voting, which I think we have to take really seriously. It comes from the Electoral Commission. Again, you know, we've also seen records of that sort of thing before in seats and councils such as Tower Hamlets with high Muslim populations. So I think that there is something clearly in our country where there is a rise in sectarian voting. I think it's parties like the Greens at this by-election have been able to take advantage of that. Going back to Reform, if they can make that part of their national story that there is a problem here, which the Greens are representative of, then actually they may not be able to appeal in the 28 seats where Muslims make up more than a quarter of the population, but they might be able to appeal in the 500 or so others where people may well be concerned about those patterns.
And I wanted to kind of round off by asking you about this split on the right. Reform UK has generally done a good job of distancing itself from the kind of online ethno-nationalist group. Now MP Rupert Lowe has launched his own party, Restore Britain, which I know you've done some polling on, which maybe is angling to sweep those people up. What kind of an impact do you think that a party like Restore could make, if any?
Well, the by-election provided us a taster of this because Advance UK ran a candidate. They actually ran quite a popular local candidate in Nick Buckley, who did quite well in the mayoral election in Manchester only a couple of years ago. He ran in this seat for Advance UK, which is in talks to potentially merge with Restore Britain. He got 154 votes. That is five votes fewer than the monster raving loony party. So that to me sums up the challenge of these parties to reform. They exist online. They get people very excited online. But they are not reaching through and really winning over reform voters. And we've seen some polls. There's been polls commissioned by Restore Britain showing that they're on 10% of the vote or 7% of the vote or whatever. You know, these are commissioned push polls to that frame the question in a way that pushes people towards Restore Britain or put Rupert Lowe's name next to Restore Britain. You know, it's not real. I suspect that Restore Britain's true position in the polls is something like 1 or 2%. Indeed, people don't even know who this guy is. We did a survey of the national public in the UK. We showed them a picture of Rupert Lowe and said, can you identify this politician? And we asked them to type in the names. We were pretty generous. We gave them Richard Lowe's and just people who said Lowe or even people who just said Rupert. And only 8% of the population were able to identify who this person is. So very, very different between the general public and the Twitter world. I've had more Americans talk to me about Rupert Lowe than I have Brits. And I think that speaks to the sort of online sort of world of this. So look, I think that if we'd have been in a world where that Advance UK candidate was getting 3,000 votes last night, I think that reform might be a little bit more, have a little bit more cause to worry. But if I were reform right now, I would not be really worried about Restore Britain. If anything, they might just make reform look more moderate, which will help them appeal to other voters.
James Johnson, thank you very much.
Thank you.